Praise God, saints. Saints, we are beginning a new sermon series, and it's called IWC, Jesus is the True Transformer. Now, saints, you should have two things to be working along with me today. You should have a pink sermon outline, and you should also have a button. Everybody got a button? I see some missing buttons. And on our buttons, what does it say? Amen. Saints, what do you think IWC stands for?
I was changed.
Some of you knew that because you were here this morning. Or you helped us come up with it. But some of you didn't. So we're going to be going through this sermon series for 3 weeks. This is the first of three messages. Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby will follow along with me as we talk about transformation. Again, this is the first of three sermons, and this is called I Was Changed, You Don't Look the Same. Saints, I got to begin today by walking around and checking you all out. I got to get a good glimpse of you all because most of you all weren't here on time. So I didn't get to see you coming in the door. So I just really want to get a good look at you all. I want to see what you look like today. And I'm not really truly concerned about what you have on and what your hairstyles look like. I can't see your shoes. Well, some of you I can, but I'm not concerned about that. I want to look you in your face, and I want to get a good idea. Thanks, Antonio, for that smile. I want to get a good idea of what you look like. You see, I want to know what it is you look like now so that I can see the difference in you once you realize that you were changed. You see, saints, we came today because we all want something different in our lives. We want transformation. We want to become more and more like Christ. And so, saints, we have to work at that, and we have to grow in that, right? So what does it mean to say, I was changed? I was changed. You know, saints, a long, long time ago, and even again, I said it was appropriate that Saniah was being baptized today. A long, long time ago, God took us all. He created us. He placed us in our mother's womb, and he told us, you are uniquely and wonderfully made. Amen. Look at Psalm 139, verse 13 with me. Read this with me. It says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Amen. So, saints, we don't understand sometimes, or we don't realize that a long time ago when God created us, when he placed us in our mother's womb, it was at that moment in time, at that moment, that we became forever changed. You know, saints, that's kind of deep to think about. And it's hard to wrap our minds around this concept. What do you mean I was changed a long, long time ago? What does it mean to be changed from the very beginning of your life? Well, we're going to be looking at that today. You see, a lot of us, saints, we struggle with the reality of God. Our economy is in the deepest, darkest pit I know that I've ever seen it in. Some I know have seen it worse and have lived through the Great Depression and things like that and have seen it worse. But we are in despair right now. Many are losing jobs. Many have already lost jobs, lost homes, had to take cuts in their paychecks and everything under the sun. Amen. And so many are sitting there wondering, God, where are you at in the midst of all of this? Crime continues to increase. Paychecks continue to decrease. And we are struggling. And so many are thinking, God, are you really real? Are you really out there? But I want us all to impress upon our hearts today that a long time ago, God created all of us and changed us from the very beginning. Now, I already said that for the next 3 weeks or the next 21 days, this is going to be our motto, IWC, I was changed. So whenever you walk into your jobs or your places of whatever, the grocery store, wherever you're going, and somebody says, well, what is IWC? You say, well, it means I was changed. Well, what do you mean I was changed? I was changed a long time ago from the moment God created me. Now, I want you all to notice, it says I was changed. Past tense for all of us that are, you know, grammar people. You know, I was changed. It doesn't say I want to change. It doesn't say I will change. There's no hope. I'm hoping to change. It says I was changed. Long ago again, saints, when Jesus delicately took you, and placed you in your mother's womb, you were forever changed. Now, saints, many of us want to live in denial about that. We want to believe, and we are fooled by what the world expects us to believe. And we think somehow stubbornly that, oh, it's my choice. I chose God. It's all about me, saints. I made that decision. I remember when I did, saints. But, saints, God tells us really clearly, it wasn't us who chose God. God chose us. Look at this scripture from John chapter 15, verse 16, actually it is. Read this with me. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. We didn't choose God. God chose us a long, long time ago. It's like God has just been waiting for us to catch up and realize what he did for us a long time ago. You know, I have this illustration. I've been reading this fictional book, and here it says fictional, okay? It's called The Shack, and I know some of you all have probably read this book. It has a lot of interesting theories in this book. But one of the most important parts of the book, and this book is about a man, and his daughter, his six-year-old daughter, is kidnapped and murdered. So God sends this man a note. He says, you know, come meet me in the shack, the same shack where your daughter was murdered. In fact, one part of the book, it tells about how her blood stain is still on the floor. You know, saints, I know I just couldn't imagine going in there. I couldn't even imagine going through the hardship of watching to lose one of my children. But we all know that there are parents here among us and in the greater world that have lost their children. So we struggle with stuff like that. But God asked this man to come and have a conversation with God. So this man gets in there, and he's kind of big and bad, and he's questioning everything God did. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. And so God tells him, okay, you choose. The man has four children. He says, now, two of them have got to die. Not an option. Two have got to die. You have four. Which two are you going to choose? Saints, we're going to put ourselves in this man's shoes. You're going to help me choose, okay? Now, I have six children, but I'm going to show you four today so we can be the same. Let's see my children. This is Trinity. She's currently six. This is James, 18. This is baby T. He's two now. And this is Whitney. She's 14. Okay, saints, now, many of you know my children, and I know my children, and we know all their mistakes as well as all of their achievements. We know what they've done good as well as what they've done bad. Some of them had some rougher times than the rest of them, but, you know, they all are children, right? So, saints, which two of my children get to die? What you mean, please don't ask you? I asked you. Come on, saints, which two? Whitney? Trinity. Come on, baby T, he kept you up all night. James? I'll have to tell James that first service voted for James, clearly. James said, why do you all choose me? Saints, in the book, the man says to God, I don't want any of my children to die. And I, in fact, would die in their place. And saints, isn't this what is great about parenthood? Sometimes we love our children so much that we want to take on the hurt instead of allowing them to suffer the hurt. Well, God tells this man in this book, and he says, look, the man says, I would rather die in my children's place. And God says to the man, look, this is what I did for you. This is what I did for you. It says, I died so that you might have life and have life eternally. Amen. Now, saints, I don't want to get anybody mixed up in this book. This book is not the Bible. Don't go running out thinking this book is the greatest theology you're ever going to have. Because some people do go around thinking, you know, oh, I love them so much, I met this guy. He's wonderful. I'm just going to die if I can't have him. Saints, our death does nothing for anybody else. I could go right now and kill myself and say, oh, I just loved you so much I had to give my life. And it wouldn't do one thing to make a difference for your eternity. There is only one whose death matters for all of us. Amen? So if you go out and read the book, read it for entertainment, but don't take it for theology. It's got some interesting points. Now, saints, God died on the cross for all of us. And that's a part of the transforming work in our lives. When we realize, saints, when all of us truly open our minds to open up and see that God created all of his children, all of his children, and he loved all of us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for each and every one of us. We are all saved by the precious blood of Jesus. It's when we hear this miracle, when we get this, when we finally get it, that I am a sinner. You are a sinner, unworthy of anybody to die on any cross for you. And yet Jesus did that for all of us. Jesus, that is the miracle of life, amen? You see, when we realize what God has truly done for us, we all go through this 180-degree turn, and we stop facing the world, and we start facing the cross. This is what happened to our two friends, Ananias and Saul of Tarsus, in our scripture reading. We have two people here, saints, Saul and Ananias, a believer and an unbeliever. Saul was walking around just like most of us, saints, and he thought that he was actually a believer. He said, I believe in God. And he thought so strongly about his beliefs in God that he thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians. He thought, I am serving you well by getting rid of all these Christians. Now, isn't that an interesting viewpoint in our world right now? That there are those actually today that claim to believe in God and think that they are doing God a favor by killing Christians, oppressing Christians, and persecuting us, amen? And I can say that clearly because, saints, 90% of Americans do believe in God. They do. Problem is, they don't understand the relationship of Jesus. You know, Saul was that guy. Saul was the guy that was going around thinking that he was doing God this favor by getting rid of Christians. He was raiding people's homes. He was killing Christians in the name of God. Now, how many of you want to be around a person like Saul? How many of you, if Saul was to walk into church right now, you'd be like, hey, I'm going to greet him. None of us want to be around anybody that we know is actively killing Christians. You know, saints, then we have Ananias. Ananias was a believer just like many of us are. And he was the kind of believer that, you know, he's doing all the right things. He's serving. He's coming to church. He's singing in the choir. He's ushering. He's paying his tithes. He's praying. He's participating in Bible studies. But Ananias was missing one thing. Ananias was hesitant to take risk for God. You see, saints, all of us love Jesus, right? Okay. All of us love Jesus. We all in agreement with that. But how many of us want to suffer for Jesus? How many of us are willing to go to those scary places and talk to those scary people for Jesus? How many of us are willing to suffer hardship to our body or our pockets for Jesus? You see, we're real good at thinking all of us want to be like Solomon. We all want the big house and we all want the money and all of the riches and everything that can come with blessings sometimes. Those things can come. But all of us want that. But Jesus didn't come here and have a castle and a mansion. He didn't have the latest Cadillac and the best shoes and the best clothes. Jesus came and he was on that cross with suffering. So when we say we participate in the suffering of Christ, what does that really mean? Many of us are just like Ananias. We just on that edge. We just don't want to take that risk. Please, Lord, send somebody else.
to go over there in that scary place besides me. You know, saints, all of us have heard over and over again, some people love it, some people are getting a little tired of it, about the story of Michael Jackson, who has just died. And I have heard a lot of interesting things about Michael Jackson's life. It's been very interesting listening to all the stories about his childhood and his sisters and his mother. And we've heard a lot of different words about Michael Jackson, or we've heard words about his life. And we've also heard some other words like Jehovah's Witness and what's the Muslim? Allah, thank you. We've heard those words. But what word have we not heard? Jesus. We haven't heard Jesus. You know, they're telling all these stories about Michael Jackson and all these people coming out the woodwork to do an interview. But the interview that I want to see is of the Christian or Christians or the church that tried to witness to Michael Jackson. That's what I want to see. You see, saints, because it is not the unbeliever's job to come find a bunch of Christians to get a witness. It is our job to go to the unbelievers to provide the witness. And I'm not saying that nobody ever witnessed to Michael Jackson. They may have. But saints, every single one of us had an opportunity to witness to Michael Jackson. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, how in the world, we way in Cleveland, was I going to witness to Michael Jackson? I know you're saying that. But saints, let me tell you something. We are the most connected society group of human beings there ever was in the history of all human beings. Now, back in the day, they used to have to ride the Pony Express and the horse to get the message across to California. We don't have to do that. All we got to do is sit down in our chairs at our computer, type on the little words, and we are fully connected to the entire world. So there is no reason that not one of us could not have written a letter, sent an email, sent a text message, or something like that to try to provide a witness, amen? Also, all of us are always, I always hear us talking about, we know somebody that knows somebody. Y'all know that story, right? Like, I know that my best friend dated one of the guys from, what's it called, Bone and Thugs and Harmony, right? My best friend dated one of the Bone Thugs and Harmony crew. Now, the Bone Thugs and Harmony crew was sponsored by who, young people? Eazy-E. Okay, come on now. Don't make me look old. Y'all know. Eazy-E also knew who else? Dr. Dre and all them, Snoop, right? Now, do you think that if we had talked to the boyfriend who knew Eazy-E, who knew Dr. Dre, that the message might have eventually got to Michael Jackson? We all have opportunity. I'm not the only one who knows somebody that knows somebody. We all know somebody that knows somebody. So, saints, we all are sitting here watching our world on television. How many of you all watched the BET Awards? Yeah, right. Yep, it was very interesting, wasn't it? When we watched those BET Awards, my heart was kind of saddened, saints, because I realized the depth that the world has control on our young people's mind. When they played that music and everybody was swaying and all the cuss words was flying, even though they did bleep them out, I was thinking, we as a world have become consumed by sexuality, drugs, and alcohol. Now, who of us among our Christians are speaking up? Where's our voices at? Which one of us are sending letters out and saying, you know what? Do you know about Jesus? Who's sharing Jesus without fear to those that are musicians and dancers and all the rest of the rappers and everybody else? Whose job is it to do those things? It's our job. You see, saints, it can be frightening for us to think about going into these bigger, broader arenas. Why would God use us? Why would God use us? And I'm sure Ananias must have thought that when he was faced with Saul. He must have been thinking, God, you want me to go where and talk to who about what? I don't think so, God. He might even think, you know what, God, I don't think Saul's ever going to change. You know, saints, sometimes we do believe that certain people just don't deserve to be told about God. They just get on our nerves too much. They always acting up or doing something. They're just too bad. They don't even deserve for me to talk to them about God. But saints, we don't get the choice. God knows who is bad. Michael Jackson sings that song, "Who's Bad?" We all bad. And God know it. We all are undeserving. And God knows it. We are all sinners. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, not me. Oh, yes, you. You are a sinner. We are all sinners. And we don't get to choose. God chose us. So let's look back at Ananias. Ananias, who at first was afraid to take a risk. And he kind of thought lowly of Saul. He was thinking, oh, no, not him. You know how many Christians he's killed. You know what he was capable of doing. But God said to Ananias, I need you to go. I need you to go. Now, Ananias could have probably said, you know, why don't you send the Apostle John? Why don't you send Matthew, Mark? You know, they were still alive at the time, saints. But God said, I'm choosing you. Because I know a lot of times you all sit there thinking, why don't you do it, Pastor Kelly? Why don't you do it, Pastor Rick? Why don't you do it, Pastor Toby? But God is not choosing us. He is choosing you. Amen, all of us. Thank you, Pastor T. So Ananias, he was at first afraid to take this risk. But then Ananias had to come to some conclusion. I'm having this conversation with God. This is God that is talking to me. When we realize God is directly talking to each and every one of us, more transformation. Ananias said, okay, well, if I'm sitting here having this conversation with God, I must be capable of going to talk to Saul. So Ananias went on. Now, I want you all to look at your neighbor, and I said this in the first service. Sometimes when we say this, you all don't look. Or when we give a high five, you all don't high five. And I think some of that is kind of fear. It's hard to get somebody direct eye-to-eye contact. And Pastor Toby said in her sermon last week, she said six words. What was those six words?
I'm sorry.
Would forgive me. All right. Woo. Hope y'all remember what I said. I want you to really look at your neighbor, just like I looked at you. Look them in the eye. I'm not your neighbor. Your neighbor is the one sitting next to you. Look them in the eye. And I want you to say, neighbor, God is using you to transform Osama bin Laden. Yes, I said that. Yes, I said that. Saints, I know it's hard to imagine. That was a hard thought. But can you see that the person next to you, or maybe you yourself, may be the person that God is using to talk to Kim Jong, the leader of North Korea, or to talk to Osama bin Laden? You see, we might sit here and think, oh, I never go to Afghanistan. Who going to Afghanistan? Anybody? Anybody going to North Korea? Now, you all talk about wanting a vacation all the time. Come on. Come on. All right, so nobody wants to go to Afghanistan or North Korea. Especially since we all know that Osama bin Laden was responsible for killing 2,740 Americans in 9/11. We really don't want to go talk to Osama. Well, we might want to talk to him, but most of us not going to probably mention Christ at all about it. But saints, what if God is using you to reach somebody in Afghanistan? And it's not such a far off thought, saints, because if you pay attention when Pastor Rick gives the reports about who's blogging onto our internet and who's listening on our website and who's listening to our messages, Afghanistan, watch Glenville. North Korea, watch Glenville. So, saints, when Pastor Rick is saying, you know, do that commercial, do that little bite for me, you might be the one that transforms somebody's life. Also, if you've been paying attention, North Korea has been on lockdown. The media and all of that can't get into there. But what have the people been doing? Going to the internet, sending text messages. Who else is on the internet? We are. We are. The believers who know that somebody is reaching out trying to find out some information, the believer who might be just listening when you get on and do your Twitter message or your MySpace message and say, do you know Jesus? We could all change a whole country. All of us. You know, Ananias was scared when he was asked to go to speak to Saul. And Ananias also thought that these two individuals, Saul does not deserve to know anything about Jesus. I don't even want to talk to him. But you know what, saints? If you think about Osama bin Laden, at one time in his life, he was in his mother's womb. At one time in his life, his mother looked down into his eyes, and she never ever thought that her son would participate in such a tragedy. She looked at her son and thought, this is my son. I love him. He is a child of God. Now, saints, is it just Christians here in America? Are we the only ones that need to hear a word of God? Where are the people at that need to hear about Jesus? All over the world. All over the world. From our doorsteps out. That's how far and wide we can reach. Amen? There is no limit. You see, Ananias never knew that he would become the best witness for God that the world had ever known. If Ananias had not been obedient, Saul would not have fulfilled his journey, and then Saul, we wouldn't have the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul became the best witness, the best converter for Christ ever known. He helped transform so many lives on behalf of God. Now, are you sitting there maybe still thinking, I just cannot imagine Osama bin Laden being a Christian. But saints, what if Osama bin Laden did give his heart to Christ? What would you say? Would you trust him to come in our church and sit down and worship and lift his hands and praise with us? Would you walk with him down the streets as he witnessed to other people about God? Would you provide him with the forgiveness and the mercy and grace that God gave to each and every one of us? I would hope so, saints, because saints, Osama bin Laden, Kim Jong-un, and all the rest of them are children of God, loved by God, and God said, I died so that all of you would have life. Not a select few, not the chosen ones, all of us would have life. You see, once we open our minds to realize that God can use me to reach somebody as big as we think Osama bin Laden is, God can use me to reach somebody like Kim Jong. God can use me to reach a Michael Jackson or all the rest of them. You see, that's real big for us to think, but we serve a powerful God. I don't know about you, but my God says that I can go and do that. Now, saints, if I believe I can do something so big, then the small stuff gets easy. You see, if God can send me to talk to Osama bin Laden, he can send me to talk to my next door neighbor. If I can go talk to Kim Jong, I can talk to my coworker that I think is interesting. If God can send me to get a letter to Michael Jackson, then I can make a relationship in my own life heal and be transformed with my mother, my sister, my daughter, my parents. You see, we can start with the small stuff. God is waiting for us to become transformed so that we can see others become transformed. Saints, how many of you have right now, you know exactly where the drug dealer lives at? Drug dealer across the street. I know when I lived over here, drug dealer was right across the street from my house. How many of you see a prostitute walking up and down the street? Okay. How many of you know somebody that's deep in sin, maybe they committed a murder or adultery or something, and you know them? How many of us know the more elite people that we don't necessarily think are sinners? The rich, the one that is worth millions of dollars, the one that's so educated, got 800 degrees and letters behind their names. All of those people need Christ. Saints, who's coming to Cleveland? Shaquille O'Neal. Now, I don't know anything about his faith. And since I don't know anything about his faith, I should just assume that I need to at least reach out to him, right? He might be already a Christian. We can say high five, glad you're a Christian. But how many of us could have the opportunity to reach out to Shaquille O'Neal? Who is actually willing to do it? All right. You all are so much better than the first service. Saints, because once again, if you spread a testimony to Shaquille O'Neal, who does Shaquille O'Neal get to talk to? Everybody else. And so when the music industry and the TV industry puts on an announcement about somebody, the word that we will hear is Jesus. Jesus. Saints, God doesn't just see where we were at when we started off in our mother's womb. God sees us right now where we are right now. And some of us didn't expect to be here right now. Some of us know the sin that we've come from, and so that's why we are here, because we are changed and we are transformed. So God sees us back there. God sees us right now. But God sees where we are yet to go. Glenville, it is time to break open these walls. If you believe in the God that we serve, a powerful God, a transforming God that can take a sinner like Paul, who was persecuting and killing Christians, and make him into a preacher, then there is nothing that we cannot do on behalf of God here at Glenville New Life Community Church. Today, saints, God is asking you, where do you want to go? Are you ready to go? Or are we going to sit there and say, oh, not me, not me. I'm not the one. I can't do it. Well, that's why I was looking at all of you saints, because I know that God is waiting to transform your life. And all of us get to see it. We get to sit back and watch and say, whoa, I never expected Walter to go all the way to another country in South America and spread the gospel of Christ. We get to say stuff like that. The rest of you, it's your turn. What are you going to do on behalf of Jesus Christ? Saints.